Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
All right, well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning on the telephone is Matt and Tangi Bates of Blue Creek Livestock in Delta Junction. Or is it Blue Creek Cattle?
Blue Creek Livestock.
Blue Creek Livestock. Okay, so I did get that right, and then I second-guessed myself. So, well, welcome, you guys, and thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate you being on the show, and I always like to start the show by asking my guests to tell me a little bit about themselves, starting with how did you get to Alaska, and what was your connection to agriculture? Were you born on a farm somewhere else, always wanted to be a farmer? How did you get here? Matt, we'll start with you.
I was born and raised on a small farm. More of a just a subsistence fat farm. We just raised what we ate in Idaho.
Okay.
And when I married Tangi in 2003, we started working on her family farm. And in 2006, we took the family farm over, and we've been going ever since. We came to Alaska in 2016. We brought 50 head of cows up with the intention of raising seed stock to diversify the genetics in the beef in Alaska.
Okay. So the farm there that you started on was in Idaho, or the farm that you and Tangi took over from Tangi's parents?
Yep.
Okay. All right. And you just one day thought we should move to Alaska? How did that part happen?
when Tangi and I got married, we came to Alaska fishing.
Okay.
And we looked at each other and said, we fell in love with Alaska, and we're going to retire in Alaska.
Okay. Well, your guys are not retirement age. I can say that clearly.
We just got there a little earlier than we were expecting.
There you go. Okay. Well, and Tangi, what about you? I mean, the parts that Matt didn't already tell us, did you always know that you wanted to be on the farm?
Yeah. We ran about 450 head of beef cows. Well, my family did. Down in Idaho. So I grew up raising cows. We also had a small dairy when I was a kid. So we had about 75 milk cows we milked. So I've always been raised doing it, cattle drive, up all night checking cows. So this is what I loved. And I was the only one in the family that really wanted to take the farm over.
Okay.
So my brothers all went off and had careers, and I stayed on the family farm. And Matt and I, you know, like he said, took it over and 2006, and I ended up having a brother that wanted to move back to the farm, and we decided that if he wants to take the farm over in Idaho, that we would move up to Alaska a little bit sooner than we planned.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So, 2016, you landed in Alaska, and you found yourselves in Delta Junction, and now you have Blue Creek Livestock. So, tell us about this property and operation that you guys are running there.
So we bought the old Spelman farm, and
it was an old dairy, or a dairy was in Alaska.
Yeah. So we bought the old Spelman farm, and we brought 55 head of cows up. We brought some dairy cows and some beef cows, and the kids brought their goats up. And so we currently have approximately 150 beef cows that we're operating, and 25 dairy cows, 12 sows, 20 goats, 20 sheep. Pretty much if you raise it on the farm, we either have it or we know where to find it.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So you've been in... Go ahead.
We also have about 100 laying hens we collect eggs from every day, and the boys sell, so... Yeah, we just try to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And what's the size of the farm? What's, you know, here in the valley down here in South Central, many of our farms are smaller than those that we see in the Delta Junction area. So acreage-wise, how much land are you guys managing?
Well, we currently own 550 acres.
Okay.
And then we lease about 1,000. Some of that's good production hay ground, and some of that's got a little more trees on it than I'd like. But That's what we're currently running right now. But when we came to Alaska, you know, I got off a plane and started in Anchorage and did the loop. Looked in Palmer and Talkeetna and Wasilla. And Delta Junction just seemed more apt to do what we did in Idaho.
You know,
just kind of bigger pieces of farm ground.
Yeah.
We always wanted to, you know, run cows up here. So that's what we, the ground we picked was more for cattle.
Yeah. Had you been to Delta Junction before? Like you said, you came up here on a fishing trip when you got married. So you weren't fishing in Delta Junction, I don't think.
No, we actually were. We were actually down in the Kenai, Sedalma area.
Sure, yeah.
So but, Matt had built a building for a friend, and that was part of his bonus was we got to come up and actually help them guide.
Oh, wow.
So we did a little bit of guiding, and we just liked it up here, so that's kind of how that happened.
Yeah, very good. So now you've got Blue Creek Livestock there in Delta Junction, and that's a significant amount of acreage, a large amount, you know, large heads, large numbers of heads of animals. Sorry, my brain is, it's this solstice full moon energy is just hitting me hard today. But anyway, that's a big operation going there. And so tell us, you're called Blue Creek Livestock. Do you have a website or social media presence? Where can people go to find out more about what you got going on?
We're currently working on a website right now, but we do have a Facebook presence.
Okay.
And that is Livestock LLC.
Okay. And of all those animals, you mentioned the beef cows and the dairy cows and goats and pigs and the whole nine yards. So I would imagine you've got products for sale, or do you have outlets for all your product at this time? Are you looking for more customers? What's the situation there?
Always looking for more customers. We do want to focus more on seed stock for Alaska when it comes to our animals.
Okay.
We do sell out a lot of finished pigs. So we always, you know, we sell more on the buy a whole pig, buy a half a pig.
Sure.
Send it to the local slaughterhouse for right now. And say that we sell most of our cull calves to a different distributor. So that's what we're focusing on mainly is building a cow-calf operation and producing more seed stock for Alaska.
Okay. Very good. Well, a quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning are Matt and Tangi Bates of Blue Creek Livestock in Delta Junction. So you were just starting to talk about seed stock. For listeners that aren't familiar with livestock, what do you mean by that? We're starting to talk genetics and things like that. So what do you mean when you talk about seed stock?
And then that's exactly what it is. As we brought up, when we first came up and looked, we had asked some of the local farmers if we could buy that year's calf crop, so we didn't have to haul them all the way up here.
Sure.
And I was really surprised, you know, coming from Idaho, that is, you know, a lot of agriculture there, that there was not a lot of farmers that wanted to sell their heifers for the simple fact that they couldn't replace them.
Right.
And I found that you know, that was a new experience for me.
Yeah.
So when we did decide to come up, we brought up heifers. The semi was clear full of bred heifers, and we brought all of our animals pretty much were purebred. So we brought purebred Angus, purebred Simmental, purebred Murray Gray, purebred Brown Swiss, Guernseys, so on and so forth. So everything we brought was purebred. And my background in Idaho, too, was that I worked for a semen company called GenX. So I bred cows for a living.
Yeah.
So that kind of falls into we're trying to keep, for the most part, the genetics as pure as possible as we can up here and help the local producers and local Alaskans get their cows bred. So that's kind of what we do with that.
Very good. And that would, I would say, in my experience here in Alaskan agriculture, I've been here since 2005. I don't know of another operation that started in that capacity with solely purebred animals. So that is a unique scenario for sure.
And that was something we couldn't find when we were looking to buy a place.
Well,
there's the need for some purebred animals and some AIing and some different genetics. And so hopefully that would be more of our niche market.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Sounds good. So does that mean, do you not have any bulls on the place? Are you using artificial insemination 100%, or do you have some bulls on the farm as well?
We, We do bake bulls, and that goes into the seed stock as well. We're trying to produce the best bulls that we can for Alaska, but we do AI. A big number of our cattle get AI'd, and then they go back out with the bulls.
Okay.
So anything that doesn't get bred, they're getting cleaned up with.
Yeah.
You know, we're running purebred Angus bulls, and I've got some purebred Murray Gray bulls up here too as well. So
yeah. So you came in 16, so that means you've got 2 full winters under your belt. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. And so have you noticed with those different breeds of cattle that you mentioned, have you noticed that any of them are doing particularly better in the, you know, Alaskan conditions? Because you get pretty cold in Delta Junction, don't you?
We do. We do. We've had a really mild winter this winter, actually. But I was surprised. I brought up Murray Gray more on a whim than anything. And so far, I am super impressed with how they winter and how they fatten out on grass as well up here. So by far, I would say the Murray Grays are my favorite up here.
Huh.
Angus and Cervetal have done great, but for an animal that was developed to be a heat-resistant, parasite-resistant animal in Australia, crazy how well they're doing in Alaska. So that would be my favorite right now.
Okay, that is very curious. You know, that's not a breed that I'm even very particularly aware of. I grew up on a beef cattle operation, as you know, on the Southern Oregon coast. We ran mostly Black Angus, some Limousine, Simmental, a few Herefords left over from my grandfather's days. But I'm not really familiar with a Murray Gray. I'll have to Google that and find a picture of one of them and see what I'm talking about here.
Beautiful animal. They were developed with an Angus Shorthorn cross.
Okay.
The theory behind that, and it worked for them, was they were keeping the black hide the black hide and getting a silver to white hair. So the hide is to, you know, be more parasite resistant, but the hair was to be heat resistant.
Okay.
So and then in the process of doing so, they actually created an Asian style marbling in the meat, which was just a
bonus.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. Very good. So when I ran into you guys at the Farm Bureau meeting back in November, one of the things that really wowed me and impressed me about you guys is your commitment to the local 4-H community and your extensive involvement with youth in agriculture there from the farm. So, Matt, you want to talk about that a little bit, about the program that you guys have been doing with kids and the 4-H involvement, et cetera?
Sure. So last year we had a lot of neighbor kids, young kids, that wanted to participate in a livestock project. And so Farm Bureau, the Delta chapter of Farm Bureau, sponsored a what we call the bucket calf program. So Blue Creek Livestock provided 8 bottle calves, and we had anywhere from 8 to 15 kids that would come by twice a week, and they would take care of the calves. They taught them how to lead. They learned how to give shots. They learned how to groom them and wash them, and they'd come by twice a week and take them for a walk down the road. And they learned how to show them, and at the Deltana Fair in July, they were able to show them and participated with the fair, and they got a little prize money from Farm Bureau. So they all walked away with a big education on livestock.
Yeah.
They got all the fun stuff, and they also got to clean stalls. So they knew, you know, we just kind of opened our farm to anybody who wanted to come and participate, and it turned out really well, and I think we're probably going to do it again next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I just loved hearing about that. And so you said 15 kids kind of shared 8 animals. Is that kind of how it worked?
Yep. So we would we had some teenagers, and then we had some small kids, and we would try to pair one of the older kids with one of the young kids so that they had more control of the calf. And
sure.
The calf didn't just run them over. And, you know, and then through the course of the summer, other things came up for other kids. And so by the end of the summer, we had 10 kids that were regular participants. So, but everybody had the opportunity to come out and learn a little bit. So,
Yeah, I love seeing the pictures from that. And cheers to you guys for making that happen, because that's a big commitment on your end to open your farm up to all those rowdy, rambunctious kids. You got a handful of your own kids that you're taking care of, but you brought all those neighbor kids in. So I was really impressed with that and really glad that you guys are doing that, because not everybody wants to take something like that on. And for that end, you know, a lot of kids don't get the exposure to livestock that they would otherwise. So sincere appreciation to you guys for taking that on and doing that. And I do hope it continues, because no doubt it's having an impact up there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And we also have a lot of volunteer hours from other parents too. So it was, we got to give kudos to them too, because summertime's haying season. And there was a few times when I just kind of turned it over to somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. So did either of you have, did you grow up showing cattle yourselves, or did you kind of teach yourselves along the way, or is that something that you've known about?
So when I was a kid, we always showed animals. We showed sheep and hogs and goats and dairy calves, everything except beef. We never really had any beef when I was a kid.
But, okay.
Yeah, we spent countless hours showing horses, everything when I was kids, so that was kind of our recreation for the year.
Okay. Very good. Well, another quick reminder and interruption that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning are Matt and Tangi Bates of Blue Creek Livestock in Delta Junction. And we've kind of hit the third segment of the show, which the time always zips by super fast, but I always want to make sure and ask the question, you know, you've only been at this a couple of years here in Alaska anyways, but if you put on your kind of magic glasses and look down the road 5 years from now, how do you see the farm changing, or what's your vision for the future with the farm?
Our vision for the future is we want to align ourselves with nature, and our operation is diversified in the livestock that we have. We're going to be moving towards keeping that diversification and moving along more of a holistic management style operation. And if the opportunity arises with meat cutters and stuff, we're going to offer more of our own product to individuals. We're hoping to work on getting packaged meat for sale so that we can tap into the direct market
yeah.
a little bit more.
Very good.
So in 5 years, we want to open our doors to agritourism, let people come in and see how we take care of everything and how an Alaska farm works.
Yeah. And there's lots of opportunity for that, no doubt, particularly in that region in Delta Junction. There's so many big operations that I would think there'd be a good opportunity for some farm tours. You know, lots of folks are traveling between the valley and Fairbanks, you know, on their visit here in Alaska. And Delta Junction's a great stopping point, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So in addition to the livestock, you mentioned hay production. Are you guys producing, you know, Delta Junction's kind of known for grain production. Are you doing any of that on the farm?
Currently, we don't do any grain production, mostly because we don't have the harvesting equipment that we need.
Okay.
We do raise some forages, some oats and peas and cover crops and stuff that we use for either grazing or cutting it and putting it up for silage.
And so are you importing any feed for the animals, or are you able to produce or buy from your neighbors everything that you need for the cows and I guess the rest of the animals as well?
Everything that we feed, except for the sunflower seeds that we give our chickens, is grown here in Alaska.
Okay.
We buy the grain that we get from either Greens or Wrigley's. They provided us the grain that we need. So, and then we've had a lot of help with neighbors helping us out, getting started and putting us in contact with landowners so that we were able to pick up some ground to put grass on.
Yeah, very good. So, Tangi, I want to talk a little bit, too, about the milk production. You mentioned that you brought milk cows with you, and you talked about a couple of different breeds there. So what are you guys doing with milk production, and what's the future of that on the farm?
It falls back into the seed stock situation. We don't really aspired to be a dairy.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. I worked for a lot of dairies. I restructured a lot of dairies. We brought them up more so for the seed stock aspect of things, is, you know, producing animals that are halter broke, you know, ready to be milked, and, you know, sending them on to the next family that's going to enjoy them.
Yeah. Very good. And but do you guys milk your own cows? Do you drink your own milk on the farm? Is that part of your operation?
Yes, we do. We do milk our own cows, and we do drink our own milk, and we feed a lot of milk pigs, unfortunately.
Yeah. So you guys are active members of the Farm Bureau, and, you know, there's legislation out there. There's been a lot of talk about changing legislation in Alaska to allow for the sale of raw milk and for changes to value-added foods across the board in Alaska. Any thoughts on that? I mean, coming from Idaho, there is raw milk sales in Idaho, right?
There is.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I think that the state should kind of jump on the bandwagon. That was actually something that I did back in Idaho, was restructure dairies. And I took a lot of dairies that were raw milk or were commercial milk and pushed them, helped them, did the marketing for them to go all raw.
Okay.
And actually got it into the grocery stores.
Oh, wow.
It worked out really well for them. There was farmers that were milking 600 head of cows that were going broke, and within a year we were milking only 60 head of cows, and they were making money.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, well, so I think it's a huge opportunity for dairy in Alaska in that aspect. If, you know, I mean, I might get lynched out, but, you know, I think raw milk is a good thing for Alaska.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those interesting topics. I think there's a handful of people on either end of the kind of extreme that say, you know, oh my gosh, we can never let this happen, and the other end of the extreme that say, you know, every Alaskan should only be drinking raw milk. And somewhere in the middle is probably the proper ground or the right place for everybody. And we'll see what happens in the legislature this year, and if particularly Representative Garantar, if she chooses to modify the language that, you know, had been proposed in the past, or maybe introduce another bill, it'll certainly be something that we'll watch. I know the Farm Bureau will watch it closely, and sounds like you guys will too. Sounds like you could help with that if people were interested in going that way, though. That's curious. So another question that's rolling around in my head is, in your couple of years of time being here, obviously it was surprising to you to see that, you know, it was hard to get purebred animals. What are some of the other things about farming in Alaska that have either surprised you or been issues that you didn't realize you were going to have to overcome?
So one of the big issues that we faced when we got here is we brought our cows up in September.
Okay.
And they went out and grazed. But the grazing season is so short in Alaska.
Yeah.
I mean, in Idaho, we could graze on the desert until Christmas.
Right.
And, well, then our feeding season would start after Christmas. And that worked out real well. Up here, one of the biggest challenges we find is our grazing is so short that we have to feed a lot of hay and silage and that kind of stuff. So one of my personal challenges I'm going to work on is how can I extend my grazing season?
Okay.
The grasses up here in Alaska, once they go dormant, the cows would rather walk over them and go hungry than to eat them. So we got to find something that's going to grow in Alaska that's going to be healthy for the cows. It's going to be ideal for the cows to eat. And that's, I've been working on doing some cover cropping and stuff like that to try to extend my grazing season out. We're going to see how that goes this year.
Okay, interesting. Plant Materials Center, you're familiar with them and the forage work that they do down there. Maybe they've got some ideas for something new for you to try, huh?
Yeah, I'll contact them and get with them too.
Yeah, interesting. What about you, Tanji? Is there anything you want to add to that unique Alaska experience or something that you weren't expecting to have to deal with?
How expensive it is to ship up parts. I grew up 5 minutes from the local parts store for the tractor, so that's been a difficult thing in my world because I'm so used to the tractor breaks down, you run to the parts store, you get a part, you fix it, you're back up and running in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
5 days later.
Right, if you're lucky, right?
So that's been a good learning curve, and finding out the tricks of how to get stuff shipped up here and not spend your whole year's crop money on parts. So
yeah, no kidding. That is I'm facing that same thing on a smaller level right now. I ordered a Christmas present for a family member on November 25th, and I contacted the company yesterday. Oh, we can't, I guess it's not going to make it by Christmas. I was like, what? I ordered it a month ago. What are you talking about? Well, yeah. we didn't realize that you were in Alaska when we guaranteed delivery. I'm like, oh, man.
I love that one.
Yeah. Didn't realize you were in Alaska. Well, and you guys have got four kiddos, right? The next generation of Blue Creek livestock is on the farm. Your kids are still young, but are they expressing interest in taking over the farm someday and dreaming big in that regard?
They are. Our oldest has decided that he wants to be a large animal vet.
Okay.
So we're going to push him in that direction. He wants to come back to Alaska and be a large animal vet.
Very good.
They've all showed interest in one way or another, but whether they stick around or not, we'll see what happens. So.
Yeah.
We're really excited that mom wants them to stick around and have lots of little grandbabies for me to play with. So.
There you go. Very good. Well, remind folks again where they can find out more about your farm and products that might be available for sale, or when they can, or how they can contact you if they're interested in animals or meat or whatever it might be.
Facebook with BlueCreekLivestock.com, BlueCreekLivestock LLC.
Yeah.
And then our email address is BlueCreekCattle@gmail.com. And then they can always call us at 208-390-5904.
Okay, very good. Well, Matt and Tangi, it's been a pleasure having you guys on Ag Matters Radio this morning. It's fun to learn more about an operation that I've never seen myself, but I look forward to visiting one day. And thanks again for taking the time to be on the show this morning.
Well, thanks for letting us come.
All right, have a great day.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.